You can see me.
We can see you. Can you see us?
Yeah.
How you doing?
How you?
But who's who?
I'm Nagel. I'm Steve Nagel.
And I'm
hilarious. Bats.
Yeah.
Is that what they call it? Is that the name? That's in it. It's funny because all over New York, all you see is bagels. Well, you know what I mean?
We've been told we should change the name, but yeah, we've done enough changing for a while.
It's actually a great name, but if you lived here, that we're not recording yet or anything, right?
No, not yet.
Because I don't want people doing it. That's what people would do to you. That's the kind of assholes that are in the streets here. They'd be like, Nagel the Bagel.
Well,
and that's why. All right, now you can record.
Now
I
can.
I didn't want to, like, you know.
Yeah.
Put that out.
Well, I'm glad you got it out of your system. That's good. Anyway,
I just know what's out there in this city.
Yeah.
But then again, you know, Springfield, Boston, you know, it's all Eastern people.
Oh yeah, I think we're all kind of cut from the same ill-spirited cloth.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. Well, I love the East Coast, you know. Yeah. All right, I'll start when you're ready. Because I have to, I'm a few minutes early in case we go a little, you know, I got a stupid meeting. I know, it's not important.
That's all right. You won't want to talk to us after 3 minutes anyway, so it's fine.
You know what? Lately, I've been having a lot of fun with doing these and radio guy. A lot of things have changed, so I like it.
Yeah, it has. But yeah. I got to tell you though, it's great to have you in Springfield. I mean, here you go from playing Carnegie Hall about a month ago, and all of a sudden coming to Springfield. Talk about a trajectory for you.
Well, you want to know something? It started. We actually Zooming now?
Sure.
This is where I am stupid.
Yeah, we're now recording, yes.
My comedy store shirt, you know, I'm all about stand-up. You know, I love it now. Wait, you're seeing me good. I'm not good with it. Anyway, it actually started last year. I started doing some, I was actually invited to do crazy things that I haven't done in years. Like, I wound up with, I went to see Bill Burr at the, is it all right if I, yeah?
Yeah, of course.
Right, what's the name of the place in Newark? The Prudential Center.
Okay. Oh, the Prudential Center, yeah.
Of course.
And I never go, I just don't go to shows a lot. You know, one here and there. And especially with comics, because I'm a comic, so I'd rather go see music. But Bill is one of my favorites. So I was telling my girlfriend, I go, we should go see him. He's really great. He's edgy. You know, he's angry. That's the kind of comedy I like. So as we're going out there, I'm teasing her because the last arena show I did was The Garden in 2000. I came back to The Garden. I did The Beacon and Madison Square Garden in the same week. And it's been theaters ever since, you know. And so all the way there, though, I'm teasing her. She's not from New York. She's Texas, you know. And I'm going, I haven't done an arena in all these years. And what am I going to say up there? She goes, she's gullible that way. She goes, you're not doing the show. We're going to see the show. You know, and I'm saying things like, hey, he's going to see him in the fancy leather. You know, he'll want me up there. And she's going, I don't know. Maybe he would want you to introduce him, you know, but I'm goofing on her. I'm just goofing. So now I'm brought in the minute I get there to his dressing room. And he gets up, Bill, and he's got this big smile. He's going, Dice, you're going to do some time, right? And I'm just telling you the truth that, you know, my stomach dropped because I haven't done, like I said, 24 years of not getting on that kind of stage. I'm used to casinos. I'm used to theaters like we're going into in Springfield, you know, but not arena shows. Like, I was done with all of that.
Yeah.
And so he goes, you're going to do some time. And I'm like, I look at him, I go, well, you know, maybe I'd introduce you, because that's what she said in the car. And he goes, do whatever you want. I just want you on the stage. I saw you. Bill saw me at the Centrum in 90. I did three nights at the Centrum. And that's when he started really getting into comedy. You know, like I was a big influence. So he just wanted me on his stage. So the minute I got introduced, crowd blew up. And I got excited and I got into it. And I didn't think I'd be capable of handling that kind of crowd anymore. Because, I don't know, about 2 years ago, you can't see it. I got a palsy face.
Bell's palsy.
You know what that is?
Yeah.
Bell's palsy. I mean, my eye was dripping down to here. My lips were down to my chin. You know, I'm lucky I went back to normal, but you're left with like sometimes a real stiffness in your cheek. I'm not thinking go on in front of an arena. You know what I mean? But Bill doesn't know this. So I go up. It's a great show. Bell rang. This is on. I'm not going. I'm not getting the bell. I'll do it at Zoom. let him wait.
Let him wait. We didn't even hear it. It's quite all right.
You know what? All right. So anyway, like 2 weeks after that, I get a text on a Monday night from Tom Mayhew, the manager, the road manager of Guns N' Roses, that they're at the MetLife Stadium in Jersey, which is the old Giant Stadium. And the guys would like me to, you know, open the show on Tuesday night. That's a lot more than an arena.
Yeah.
Okay. And I went because I'm like, now that the switch, Bill turned on that switch again. And years ago, I did the Rose Bowl. I was very close with GNR. So I show up, and now as we're walking to where I'm going to go on stage, you start seeing just tens of thousands. It was over 60,000 people that night, and it's still light outside. But, and also they're not there for comedy. And it's like, oh my God, there's something wrong with me, you know. But they announce me, and as I'm walking towards the crowd, they just blow up.
Yeah.
And it was insane. And it was very surreal, but so exciting. And the band was amazing. They did about 3.5 hours, actually.
Wow.
And after that, Bill's going into Madison Square Garden. I wind up his special guest. And by then, we got the call from Carnegie Hall. You know, we want Dice at Carnegie Hall. So, yeah, with these different moves, some of the play. I really, you know, comedy, I love in the clubs. You know, that's where comedy is to me, at its best in little clubs as far as developing material. But, you know, I'm a concert performer. You know, that's how I geared myself coming up in comedy, going, I'll just become the Elvis of comedy. I'll be the biggest. So I did all those arenas, hundreds of arenas. And, you know, but that was a certain time. You know, I did over 300 arenas. When I would go on sale back then, you know, little ad in the newspaper, none of this. No Instagram, please come see me at this place. Follow me, please, I love you. You know, none of that. It was a 4x4 ad, Dice. I would sell out 500,000 tickets in a matter of 2.5 hours around the country. So, you know, coming back to Boston is a fun thing that I'm doing these kind of things now again.
You know, it's funny because, I mean, you know, so Steve and I have both done comedy. Steve's still doing it. I haven't done it in a long, long time. But I remember the comedy special you did in 88 with Rodney, Nothing Goes Right. And you were on a stage with Hicks, Lenny Clark, Dom Herrera, and Schimmel. And you freaking destroyed the place. And to the point where the next day, a bunch of kids are on my college campus. They're all doing your jokes. No one's doing Schimmel. No one's doing, you know, Hicks that day. They're all doing you. And I remember people thinking, what is this guy all about? And it just, you know, for the next, I don't know, what, 10, 15 years, you're just slaying everything. I mean, to be at, you know, at Madison Square Garden and sell it out two nights in a row is ridiculous. Comedy never did that before. It's unbelievable.
And what's funny about that is the Garden wasn't even my first arena. My first arena, which my agents, and they're rock and roll agents. I'm with them to this day. When I was a kid, I never went to concerts. The only concert I ever went to was to see Buddy Rich at Carnegie Hall, because at that age, I wanted to be Buddy Rich. I was a drummer, but by 17, I realized I'm not Buddy Rich. You know what I mean? So I actually wound up doing a big drum thing at Carnegie Hall, you know, because that's where I saw Buddy. But I didn't go to concerts. Like I told you, to this day, I don't go to a lot of shows. So when I got that Rodney special, I totally prepared. I mean, you know, everything I was going to wear to playing the cameras. Like a lot of people, they don't, you know, they just go on if there's three people in the crowd late at night. And some of the guys on that special did it like that. They would just mess around. I was like, I'm all business, because I knew filming this. Well, number one, till Rodney said I'm going to be on it was unreal, because I auditioned for him and we're in the back of the Comedy Store in L.A. And I'm going, so Rodney, like, I want an answer, you know, I'm going, you know, and, you know, when you're in front of somebody like Rodney at that, you know, I was, you know, I'm looking for the opportunity. So I'm not a big deal yet, you know.
Right.
So I'm like, Rodney, so what'd you think? And he's like, OK, man, you're OK. All right. And I'm like, no, but I mean, like, I wouldn't say, am I on? I'm going, so, you know, what did you think? You know, I'm trying to get him to say I'm on. Hey, all right, man, everything's cool. Okay, you'll be all right. Don't worry about anything. That's not, obviously, I wound up with the show, but I was so prepared, even like I say, you know, not all, even with the crowd that was in the club, but with the cameras playing America, just playing to the people. And that's how I would think of comedy. You got to project. Yes, I know there's people in the audience, but you got to play where you know the cameras are hitting you a certain way. And it's like I've told everybody I talk to, I never even really, at the beginning, wanted to do comedy. It was all about acting to me.
Yeah.
So you're playing this part, play it well. Not that I'm not from Brooklyn and, you know, I haven't lit these in years, but I do hold them. So there are traits of Andrew that are dice, but some of, let's face it, in the 90s, the thinking pattern, you know, of dice wasn't how I walked around all day. That's the comic in me. So yeah,
I just wanted to ask you about, you know, you mentioned the acting, and I got to say, as much as I'm a fan of your stand-up, I'm even more of a fan of your on-screen performances. A Star Is Born, probably one of the most prolific experiences or scenes I've seen with you and Lady Gaga, and that must have been quite the experience to make.
Well, that was always the stuff. That was the aim. You know, in the beginning, I just didn't want to go to acting school because it's once a week.
Yeah.
I figured be on a stage every night and develop my own method of acting. Like, I just wrapped Eddie Murphy's movie that he's doing now with Pete Davidson. So I just got done with that. That's like an exciting, that's one of the only comedies I've been called for, because everything over the last 15 years has been drama. You know, like Pam and Tommy. That was on Hulu, and Star Is Born, Blue Jasmine, all these projects, working for Scorsese. I mean, the best.
Yeah.
You know, those were the dreams that I originally had. And I took off as a comic after the Rodney thing, you know, but, you know, I would tell other comics that were going to be on that show. I'd go in, I don't care if there's nobody in the club by the time I go on. And practicing, I'm going to be ready, because when you hit that stage, if you know the cameras are on, you're going to be nervous. You know what I mean? So I wanted to know the material inside and out, and all I wanted to worry about was the performance of it. You know, and Barry Katz, this manager in Hollywood, just did a whole number about it. He was in the front row that night at that special, and he wound up handling Dane Cook as a manager, and Dane became the second arena comic, you know, that did what I did, because when I did it, it was never done before. So when I did call my agents about, you know, doing an, you know, I go, what's like a room like Madison Square Garden, but not Madison Square Garden? My agent goes, well, you got Nassau Coliseum in Long Island, but Billy does that, not comedian, meaning Billy Joel, because they, I was their only comic, and they hire, you know, they have like Metallica or Motley Crue, those kind of things. I go, yeah, but what if a comic did do it? And at that point, I played up to you know, a town hall in Manhattan. So he's thinking he's either out of his mind or he knows what he's talking about. And long story short, we sold Nassau Coliseum out in 42 minutes. Wow. And every promoter in the country, it wasn't Live Nation at that point, was calling my agent to book me in an arena. They didn't know if I was a juggler, you know, a singer.
They just wanted you. Yeah.
This guy sold out Nassau in 42 minutes. I want him. And that became the Dice Rules Tour, which the last two shows of that happened in 1990, and that was the Garden shows of February 21st and 22nd, 1990.
And now here you are coming to Springfield Symphony Hall. Again, the trajectory, practice, practice, practice.
I love it. I hate the traveling, you know, but once I'm on stage, I'm home. I just love it. And I love that, you know, as time went on, I evolved. Not that I don't do edgy stuff anymore. I still, you know, pick on the couples that, you know, I play any room. Like when I did The Garden with Bill Burr, you know, his own manager said, you played The Garden like it was a 200-seat club. I go, because I'm doing it my whole life. I just know how to do it. And I love it. I never lost that fire. And he goes, in the material, you know, I go, yeah, well, why would I want to do the same material from, let's say, the 90s? Right. It's a different world. There's more to talk about, you know, because everybody I talk to, all they talk about is medical stuff. You know, what's wrong with me? I went to Florida, and this ain't even my bits. And, you know, I tell my friends, I go, don't move there. You're basically saying I want to die, you know. That's just how I feel about Florida. It looks great on film when Michael Mann films it, you know, doing, you know, Miami Vice. Stay away from that. Anyway, so my friend shows me his phone. He's like, you want to see something? And I go, yeah, what's that? This is right before I went on stage. And he goes, I could be listening to music and talking to you at the same time and you won't know it. I go, what are you talking about? He's one of those friends that you're friends with since, you know, junior high. I go, what are you talking about? He goes, for an extra 7,000, and he shows me this app on his phone, you know, and they make hearing aids really tiny now. He goes, my hearing aids, I could get a phone call in my head or listen to a song when I'm talking to you. And I go, so I got to compete with Led Zeppelin and I don't know it. Yeah. You know, so I went on stage opening with this stuff and kill him with it. You know, I know my stuff. So the material has changed. It's a little more self-deprecating, but yeah, it does build to some crazy stuff that obviously I won't do on the air. And I do the poems for them because they love it. Yeah. You know, it became
I was going to ask you, how humbling is that? I was just listening to some albums earlier this morning, and you don't even have to do them. That you just start with a couple of words, and the crowd finishes them for you. That must be pretty humbling.
Well, any good comic has a signature piece. So mine was the Mother Goose thing, but they don't have a signature piece that the audience does with them. You see what I mean? Right. They always did the poems, and they still do it like it is 1989. Yeah. But, you know, looking at guys, you know, sometimes, you know, Like I started getting a younger audience when I did the last season of Entourage.
Yeah.
And that's where, you know, I locked in with the younger people. So I got the 30-year-olds and the 35 and 40, but you also got guys in their 60s, 70s. So, you know, you got guys in the front row sometimes that you don't even know are breathing, going, little Bay Blue, hey, he needed the money. You're seeing this. You know, they can't do it enough. So I would never take that away from them. It's like, yeah, they love it. Save it for the end and we could just blast it out.
Well, listen, guys, I know we don't have that much time left, but I wanted to bring this up to you because it happened about 15 years ago. You and I actually met. You were coming here to Chicopee, Massachusetts. We had a place called the Hukilau. I don't know if you remember. Okay. It was like a Polynesian place. And we were promoting the show, and they asked me if I would open for you to do 5 minutes for the show. Now I know you were tired. I know that, you know, it was a long day, but you came in, I met you. I went up on stage. I did my 5 minutes, and then they drew me out of the room, and then they said, "Hey, listen, Dice doesn't want you on the second show anymore because he felt that you were stealing some of his jokes." And I was really kind of like, "Really?
You out.
This
Number
was the
one,
guy
I
from
wouldn't no, remember
no,
it.
Listen. This is why I'm saying I you didn't say this to me, and this was secondhand information that came from the club. It was a Comedy Connection, I believe it was." And they told me this, and I was really upset about that because I was like, I would never disrespect the Dice Man. I listened to you. My brother had these older brother had these tapes. I used to sneak them and listen to them when I was 8 years old. And you're an inspiration to me as far as one of the many influences that have got me in for this godforsaken business. But I just want to say I apologize if I offended you because I didn't do anything to.
Okay, first off. You know, I don't remember that moment.
I know you. I know you don't. No, I know you don't. And I didn't.
Normally, when I would come in, where I'd go anywhere, I would have my openers. So sometimes, you know, and I know who owned the club and all that and booked me, you know. And actually, after that weekend, I didn't work for that guy for 10 years, you know, because over $200, hilarious, you know. That I finally said to the guy, you know what? I want you to keep the 200, you know, I just, you know, so that was a rough weekend, but I would remember I've had some things,
yeah,
you know, with comics and different things. And, you know, if number one, I'd never come up to a new comic trying something because I'm an encouraging guy and I've helped a lot of people from, you know, guys that are from Eddie Griffin to Jim Norton to Sebastian Maniscalco.
And now,
you know,
Steve Dangle.
Doing The Garden now. You know, Joe Diaz, Bobby Lee, Ari I didn't put on, but I was friends with him. But so many comics I would let open for me and feel what it's like to be, especially like if when I was at Vegas at the Stardust for a few years, that's where I brought in like Bobby Lee and, you know, Joe Diaz, a lot of guys that have now blown up and like the newer generation of comics. And I love doing that. So I would never knock down, you know, a new guy doing 5 minutes. What I might have got mad at was not being told about it before I was ever at that venue. Because that place was like you say, it was like I said to the guy that brought me in, I go, "What is this, a restaurant?" You know, like, why am I in a restaurant when I'm doing 20,000 people a night?
Well, you know what? You know, the place has been demolished. So, you know, we got back at him.
You know, well, it's just, but I would never do that. Like, yeah, if I met you, I would probably be cool. And
I just want to say it was an honor for me to be there at the show and to actually meet you for the first time because I had idolized you for so long. And I appreciate that.
Are you still doing stand up?
I'm doing a show the night you're doing the show. And I got actually 20 minutes on nursery rhymes. You should really come out and see it sometime.
Right. So that's what makes you a good comic.
Yeah. Well, I just tried.
You learned how to do it.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing.
Well, I appreciate
the
experience.
So you're doing comedy a long time now.
Yeah, it's been about 20 years now since I've been doing it.
Do you, I know you do this, this is your main thing, but do you do the road?
No, not yet. I cause I do the morning shows and I'm raising a couple of kids. So
it's hard, but you love it. You have that love for it.
I do. I love going out as much as I can.
Keep doing it. You know, that's what I say, you know, like, you know, there were so many people that go, what? Number one, I started when I was really young. You know, I wasn't even 21 yet. You know, I'm watching guys now take off in their 40s, you know, and even late 40s that they're blowing up, you know. And I was so, and I felt I was starting late, you know, and I wasn't even 21. So when people say to me, like, you know, do you ever think of like retirement is not in the plan. You know, I just can't see waking up and having nothing to do. Like, my agent put together, this is funny, you know, month and a half bus tour. All theaters, you know, when we took on Carnegie, but it was supposed to be about 2 weeks, we talked about. And he goes, well, it's going to be about 6 weeks. And I said, yeah, okay, why don't you spread that whole thing out through the year? I'm not looking to kill myself out there. Right. I'm not looking to do, because you could actually be in three cities in one day.
Yeah.
Right. You know, you could come from one, do the show in the second, now drive to the third. And these rides could be, you know, when I would do bus tours, we did up to 11-hour drives.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not doing that. Right. So I'll go out. I'll do like what I'm doing there, the Schubert Theater, and then coming to you guys. And what's the name of the theater again?
It's Symphony Hall.
Symphony Hall.
Symphony Hall.
Yeah.
You know, so I do it like that because it's really no reason for me to be killing myself on the road. You know, I like going out like to Joe Rogan's Mothership, do that for a few nights. I'm like having fun with it now, but plus still doing like I said, like the Eddie Murphy movie. Like, you know, I always knew Eddie, but I never got to work with him.
Yeah.
You know, so that was pretty thrilling, you know, and I think it's going to be a great movie.
Dice, we're running short on time. We appreciate you coming on today. You're going to be at Symphony Hall Saturday, the 16th. Dice, real pleasure to see you.
Yeah, Dice, thank you so much. And I should just let you know, Symphony Hall is actually a restaurant. You might want to check into the parameters of the contract.
See? Very good.
There you go. So see? I learned from the best. Thank you so much, man. Right. I really appreciate it.
Maybe you'll do the 5 minutes.
Yeah, maybe.
10. All right.
You're a good guy.
And thanks, all right. Bud,
you're both good guys. And thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Andrew Dice Clay.
Thank you.
With Bax and Nagel on Rock 102.